to depress, to prostrate, in homage to royalty or God, to bow self down, to crouch, fall down, humbly beseech, do obeisance, do reverence, make stoop, worship. And we could see from our COY family that the messages that went forth, I saw the common theme was, are you going to prostrate yourself during the times of trial? Are you going to be able to come through with a victory? Are you going to be able to endure the test, which each and every one of us has our own cup to bear? And of course, as I've said many a times, one of my favorite chapters and books is Deuteronomy chapter 8. And on the latter end of that, verses 18 and 19, in regards to humbling ourselves, truly worshiping Him, it says, but you shall remember Yehovah your Elohim, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, in order to establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is today. And we know it still stands as it is today. And we always have to continually recognize whatever increase He's given us, whether it's financial, health, more importantly above all things is spiritual increase. The ability to continue to draw to Him and actually pull from Him what He wants from you to build upon yourself and share with others. And it shall be, if you by any means forget Yehovah your Elohim and follow other mighty ones and serve them and bow yourself to them, I have warned you this day that you shall certainly perish. And these are the words that can be so challenging to our core, because we don't really truly realize sometimes what Elohims that we have in our life. Because the humbling fact is that sometimes, as much as I enjoy the accolades of people telling me, you know what, you're humble, you're this, you're that, it's encouraging. But in reality, I know me. The Father knows me better than I know myself. There's areas that I still need growth in. We're entering into Passover, a time where we have to respect the fact that through our humility, we were able to receive what He has given us, so that way we can truly succeed in this walk. Abraham's approach to this test shows nothing but humility. His son, his promised son, to be offered up by his own hand. Because the truth is that sometimes, as much as I would like to say I'm giving it my all, I'm not. I could give more. We got to ask ourselves daily, how much more can we give? Because we can entitle ourselves. We can talk about our job being demanding. We can talk about our responsibilities at home being demanding. All this increase He has given us through His power, are we allowing our excuses to become our Elohim? And that's a reality that He really wanted to press upon me throughout this week. Because as much as I would try and go forward into the studies, look for more, this is where He kept me anchored. These are the questions I had to ask myself. Am I just to throw that out because I'm worried about what I think others can think? I'm not a mind reader. I just have to trust Him and show Him that I can lie prostrate before Him and go forth and do what He charges me to do. And this is challenging. This is what I was faced with this week. But I'm so thankful that I didn't just brush any of it aside. Well, another scripture I was reminded of was Esther chapter 3, verse 5. And when Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or do obeisance, Haman was filled with wrath. And we all know this story. We know it's all in the sense of wicked Haman setting the stage for the downfall of the chosen people, and which we'll hear more of tomorrow with the Torah portion of Sarah. But ultimately, what we can draw from that moment is a reminder of the fact that just because man can think doesn't make it right, as we know. Just because others have an idea of how Elohim should be served doesn't make it right, and we should bow to their traditions. And that we should bow to however they feel so see fit. We always have to be willing to go before the Father humbly, prostrate ourselves, so that way we could receive what He has for us. But otherwise, it's compromise, which leads to destruction. And another verse was Job chapter 1, verse 20. Then Job rose up and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell to the ground and did obeisance. And as we're reminded, even at COY, because this was something that was greatly touched upon, was the fact that even when we begin to lose things that we hold ourselves dear to, are we going to prostrate ourselves? Are we going to still go before the Father humbly? Whenever we're being tested, whenever we're being brought to the position to where we have to ask ourselves, do we really truly love Him? And you know, sometimes I feel as whenever I speak on these matters, the depth doesn't even begin to touch the reality. Because you really truly don't know until you're put in that test. But humility in regards to leadership, I was reminded of Moshe in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. As we know, the word says, and the man Moshe was very humble, more than all men who are on the face of the earth. We know the verses surrounding this was in regards to those closest to Moshe, Miriam and Aaron, questioning amongst themselves, truly is it that Elohim, Yehovah, only speaks to Moshe? And then questioning, I'm sure, the authoritative structure of Moshe. When in reality, it takes humility to realize that Almighty Yah is the one that places people in positions for a reason. And it could so much be because of their level of humility, their level of lying prostrate before the Father, their level of actually worshiping the Father correctly. And I do want to take this moment in appreciation. And I know it can make people feel uncomfortable at times, but I'm reminded of our pastor whenever it comes to that level. Just in the journey alone that I've been able to witness with the attacks that have taken place, the questioning that has taken place against leadership, we can see the humble approach is the approach that the Father truly wants. Someone that's willing to go before Him and lay prostrate and trust the Father, no matter how many people it may seem is against what's taking place. I draw from these examples because I want to make sure that as I grow in the walk with the Father, that I remain humble, that I remain able to lay prostrate before Him. So that way I don't make a mistake, because I think there's a lot of people that don't genuinely realize that fine line. Because we know the judgment that Moshe received whenever he struck the rock. It was much greater than everyone else. He had to maintain that composure continually, and that was expected of him for his position. And ultimately, we see that example being exhibited in Abraham. Whenever he was approached with this test, he didn't lose his composure, even though I'm sure while he was worshiping, he wanted that cup to pass. He wanted that test to go because of the level of it, but he trusted and kept going forward. And the Hebrew word for humble is chana, which is H3665. Properly to bend the knees, hence humiliate, vanquish, bring down into subjection, under, humble, and subdue, which is ultimately all of a picture of what worship looks like. Living worship out. In Leviticus chapter 26, verse 40 to 42, but if they confess their crookedness and the crookedness of their fathers with their trespass in which they trespassed against me, and that they also have walked contrary to me, and that I also have walked contrary to them and brought them into the land of their enemies, if their uncircumcised heart is then humbled and they accept the punishment of their crookedness, then I shall remember my covenant with Jacob, also my covenant with Yitzhak, and also remember my covenant with Abraham, and remember the land. This is the Elohim that we serve. That's a perfect example of patience. Because isn't that also a form of humility? The fact that we have an all-omnipotent, self-existing one that has the power to just at a snap restart and redo everything, decides to be patient with us, to love us, to show us his best sides. And all in return, what he wants us to do is to break away from our stiff-neckedness, to allow ourselves to be willing to approach him humbly, worship him properly. But ultimately, in parallel to what took place in verse 5, I was reminded of Yeshua in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew chapter 26, 36 through 46. Then Yeshua came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and said to the taught ones, sit here while I go over there and pray. This is the imagery I began to see, because ultimately Abraham told his servants and the donkey, well, his servants, to tend to the donkey, to be there while I go, me and the boy go over there and worship in prayer. And he took with him Kepha and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be grieved and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my being is exceedingly grieved even to death. Stay here and watch with me. If anything, this gives us that in-depthness of understanding the level of pressure that our Messiah was facing in this moment. We know the level of pressure that Abraham was facing in that moment and within leading up to that test. And I'm so thankful that I was able to see this parallel with praying with the Father just through laying prostrate, crying out to him, asking him, Father, what is it that you want me to see? And going forth a little, he fell on his face and prayed. He worshiped and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I desire, but as you desire. You know, that of itself says a lot. Is that our approach that are we taking? Are we humble enough within the pressure, even though that we don't want to endure whatever's taking place in our life at that moment, to still go before the Father and tell Him, but if this is what you want from me, then so be it. And as we're going to read along, we can see that there is even more than one approach. Even in the times of still continually seeking, we still have to be okay with whatever answer that He gives us. Because ultimately, it is for everlasting life. And He came to the taught ones and found them asleep and said to Kepha, so were you not able to watch with me 1 hour? Now I find the interesting thing about Him speaking to Kepha in this moment and asking him not even 1 hour is because the previous verses before this, Kepha was declaring, even unto death, I will not deny you. How many times in our life, because of the walk that we've had and experience His goodness, experience His presence, it built up this excitement within us that we begin to proclaim things that yet, when it comes time of testing, we really find out what it is that was within us. Because ultimately, the zeal, it is a good thing to have, but we better make sure that we're able to lay prostrate and humble ourselves. Because in reality, whenever the test comes, we'll really find out what's within us. He said, watch and pray, lest you enter into trial, enter into temptation. Temptation to go back to sleep. The spirit indeed is eager, but the flesh is weak. That of itself is a humbling reality for us to know that daily, as we wake up and press forward, that we could either allow the weakness of the flesh to override, or we can just endure and allow the Spirit's eagerness to overcome the weakness of the flesh. But of course, whatever one we sow to will show if we truly mean the words that we profess in praise and worship to the Father. He will test us. He will test our words. Again, he went away a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is impossible for this to pass unless I drink it, let your desire be done. Let's hold our place there and go to Psalms 116. Because I remember a while back in Revelation and understanding Yeshua's name, meaning salvation, meaning deliverance, the Psalms came back to memory while I was praying and reading over. And I feel like the Psalms reflects perfectly in between the parallel of Abraham and Yeshua in these moments of testing. But it says, I love Yehovah because He has heard my voice, my pleas. Now the realization I got just from that verse alone, see, He hears Yeshua. He hears Abraham and Yitzhak. He hears us all in our pleas. But ultimately, He still knows what's best for us. He inclines the ear to His people. Because He has inclined His ear to me, and I shall call throughout my days. The cords of death were around me, and the pains of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. And ultimately, we could see within those testing moments, those humbling moments, that koshek, that darkness surrounds. I've had many of experiences in my life of near-death experiences during my times of foolishness, of folly. And truly only a fool laughs at death because he doesn't truly understand the extent of it. But now that I have an appreciation of life, a value to life, you want to hold on. And it's a humbling thing because the world's proud and boastful, beat their chest at death like a fool. Because a man is accounted as like the wild flowers of the field, spring up one moment, but then the wind blows and is gone the next. And we have to realize that our time as vapor, our time is shorter than what we think. And we have to truly grasp onto the value of life. The cords of death were around me and the pains of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. And we can see that in the testing of Abraham and Yeshua. Then I called upon the name of Yehovah. O Yehovah, I pray to you, deliver my being. That is exactly what Yeshua is doing in that very moment. And it would be far past me to not think that that's what they were doing in that moment in worship, at least Abraham, knowing the extent of the test that was at hand. Because ultimately, as we learn through pastor's revelation shared that the Father gave him about the ram being caught in a thicket, is a perfect example of seeing that the Father is able to feel the pain through his Son. That it killed him to witness that figuratively. And it's such a beautiful thing to see because, as pastor said, it shows us that he is not a God that's afar off. He's wanting to be intentional with us, intimate with us, near us, to take us from a broken state and bring us into life everlasting so that way we can worship him in spirit and truth forever. Verse 5. Yehovah shows favor and is righteous, and our Elohim is compassionate. That's something very important for us to remember, especially when a test has taken place. We cannot forget that. Because in a time of humbling, sometimes we forget who our Elohim is. But ultimately, the pressure is to find out what's within us, to know if that we are bearing the mark of the Father versus the mark of the beast, with a man of the field. Yehovah guards the simple. I was brought low, but he saved me. It's another testament to whenever we're put through the test, it is of a low state, a worshiping area. Return to your rest, O my being, for Yehovah has treated you well. For you have delivered my being from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I shall walk before Yehovah in the land of the living. I have believed, for I speak, I have been greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Honestly, my mind went to Peter first. Not that I like picking on Peter or anything like that, but ultimately he was boastful. He said in those moments, even unto death, and we know the prophecy that he did deny. But that's why it's so important for us to make sure that we actually have that humility in our hearts when we approach his Moedim, his feast days, his Shabbat gatherings. Whenever we fellowship with one another or with brothers and sisters from afar, that to continually have that humility within our heart to make sure that we don't have ourselves being found out as liars. Because if we say we love Elohim, but yet show partiality to anyone else, then what's that make us? Not a truther. Because we know what the word says. That whatever you do unto the least of them, you have done unto me. What shall I return to Jehovah? All his bounties are upon me. The only thing he really wants from us in return is our obedience. To trust him enough that no matter how hard things get, we don't compromise for anything. Yet we truly haven't felt genuine pressure. I lift up the cup of deliverance of Yeshua, and I call upon the name of Jehovah. Yeshua was asking for, if it is possible, may this cup pass. But not my desire, your desire. Each and every one of us has learned over the years that we have our own cup. We have our own walk to pay attention to make sure that we don't allow prying eyes to get caught up with anything else. And these are the things that are coming into mind in regards to what it takes to be humble, to be willing to stay in a constant state of worship. Because what good is it if someone comes here and puts on a show, paints a picture of what they want to look like, but yet as they depart from here, go to work, go home, is that the same person? To the T. The same person that they're exemplifying. Because any slight wavering is hypocrisy. It is a type of lying. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to others. And you know, quite frankly, I don't ever have a problem with putting myself on the spot. One thing that I genuinely struggle with is temperament. It tends to happen with people that absorb, and don't properly reach out or talk. Sometimes overthinking can cause unnecessary stress. And I'm so thankful that the Father has taken me in this walk, and over the years, I see that temperament dwindling down in a way, because I humble myself enough at times to listen to my wife whenever she tells me, "You're overthinking. Reach out. Speak. Seek counsel." I'm so thankful for her. But if I was honest with everyone, there's way less times of me actually listening because of stubbornness, because of pridefulness, because of the things that are not of the Father, that prolong my suffering. If we're blessed with a helpmate that loves Almighty Yah, she's going to speak wisdom into our lives. And we have to be willing to receive. And you know, I know this is all within the understanding of humility, because sometimes as I speak and I allow things to flow, I'm like, okay, where'd that come from and why? But I know why. So I have to be willing to crucify the flesh. To bleed out, not bleed on others. Just to bleed out and entrust that the Father is aligning all things in my life continually. So that way I can be prepared for whatever test, whatever cup that he has for me to bear. Whatever sacrifices I have to make in my life that will allow me or motivate me to lay before him prostrate and worship him properly. Because honestly, since we're being honest, well, I guess that's another theme. There's been times where it's come across my mind to walk up here during worship and prostrate. But I didn't because I care too much about thoughts that don't matter. And you know, in those moments, you hinder what the Father's trying to do with you. Well, I tell you, when He graced me with the running shoes, there was a time, and I've shared it before, when I was sitting over there, the pastor was preaching the message, and it was about the writing in the sand. And I was, for years, I was just like, what is it? I want to know. Then I look through forums and different things, and I feel like everybody wants to know. And as he was speaking, I felt the Spirit confirm, this is it. This is what happens when you keep showing up and have a heart willing to receive my word. Amen. No matter who's the speaker, right? I withheld myself. I didn't know why my foot was just fidgeting a miles per hour, 100 miles per hour. I didn't realize there was something stirring up in me. I had to say, run, Rob, run. Because I withheld myself. I said, no, that's weird. Who does that? Apparently, it's a thing. I didn't know. Apparently, you spend enough time in Scripture. We know King David. He took it to a whole nother level. Dance right out them clothes. But we're going to save that for King David. So, but, you know, the reality is it takes that level of humbleness to deny those thoughts, to not worry if someone is going to say something. We all have clever things that we can come up with and say, but we should never allow that to hinder what the Father wants in that moment. And like I said, thankfully I was graced with another moment. During trumpets. Whenever Pastor turned and looked, got them running shoes on. Now they had a lot of people worshiping, bowing. I took off. Some of y'all said, I didn't even get to see it. But when I did, it felt like so much weight, so much burdens was lifted off of my shoulders that I had there. So from now on, and I know the importance of words, but whenever He moves me in my heart to do something, whether it's worship, it might look crazy. We sing, I don't care what it looks like. I'm so in love. But then we care a little too much what it looks like. You know? And all these things are running through my mind throughout the week whenever it came to humility. Because in reality, Yeshua really didn't care what it looks like. He showed us love. You know, it's crazy the things that we get caught up on. Because when you spend time and you picture that level of trial that He took for us. You can't compare it to anything else. So why are we withholding? When His feast days comes around, we should genuinely give it our all. Whatever that all looks like, led by the Spirit. It never means laying prostrate and worshiping and snotting all over the rug. We got cleaning groups. You know, and my prayer coming into this was that I'm able to learn continually how to walk and trust Him and allow Him to speak through me. Let's continue forward. Oh, we left off on 13, I believe. I lift up the cup of deliverance. I lift up the cup of Yeshua, salvation. and I call upon the name of Jehovah. I pay my vows to Jehovah now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the eyes of Jehovah is the death of his lovingly committed ones. Now that's one of them verses that could leave you sleepless if you didn't realize the level and depth that the Father wants to take us whenever it comes to being in love with him, to showing his love. That sometimes loving him is much more than just dying to self's temptation, but can also lead to that physical act. But yet we've seen and have been given examples throughout Scripture that something supernatural takes place during those moments of martyrdom for those that are called for such a serious trial. And ultimately, I am being reminded of Stephanos. He spoke the word so beautifully. They stoned him, and he looked up and saw Yeshua at the right hand of the Father in the heavens. I guarantee he probably didn't feel a single blow because of the excitement and the love that was being exuberated there. O Yehovah, I am truly your servant. I am your servant, the son of your female servant. You have loosed my bonds. When Yeshua was set free, so were we. I slaughter you a slaughtering of thanksgiving and call upon the name of Yehovah. I pay my vows to Yehovah in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of Yehovah, in your midst, O Yerushalayim, praise Yah. Now we can go back to Matthew 26. I believe it was verse 42 we left off of. You know, sometimes in my studies, because like I said, I think a lot. There's a good and a bad side of that. Because the brain's active, but sometimes a little too active. So I gotta make sure I limit myself on caffeine especially. Me and the wife's been detoxing from that, you know, pretty well. Back to coffee. So yeah, it's made a difference. But, you know, the thoughts that I'm faced with, I don't subject myself to them. I take them captive. I remember what the word says. But sometimes I genuinely have to reach out. But that's what we're here for, right? To support one another, to lift one another up, to encourage one another. And we need to utilize that and be thankful for that, that we actually have that. You know, I was sharing with my wife on the way here that I was reminded today of how incredible it is to be able to come together with a group of set-apart believers that speak life. Now, I know we have our moments. We all do. But ultimately, we know the importance and value of words, that we should uplift one another even if we're conversating about one another separate from that individual. Because ultimately, today I was faced with a bombardment of negativity, worldly talk, from a worldly mindset. But instead of correcting like I wanted to in the moment, in the way that I wanted to, I was just reminded, no, listen, remember from where I took you. And I had to endure it. I listened. And like a flood, so much that I came flooding back. I forgot genuinely how rotten my life was before the Father. How much negativity was constantly circling. But now, because of the Father, I have a place to where life is being spoken. To where I have people that I can flock to. That we will tell the truth and nothing but the truth. In a way that should be from a loving heart. Committed to serving the Father. That is a major blessing. And just to be reminded of that was important. Because if we're not reminded, we're not humble, we'll just be putting on a show for everyone else and dying slowly, not in the way that we were commanded to die, but just quietly drifting away. And that's why we have to be able to humble ourselves, be able to worship Him properly, to pour out to Him, to pour out to one another. These are all the things that Messiah did die for, to be put at the right hand, to intercede for us for. Again, he went away a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is impossible for this to pass, unless I drink it, let your desire be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, went away again, and prayed a third time, saying the same words. I'm just being reminded of whenever King David said, when I have no one to encourage me, I'll encourage myself. Yeah. So ultimately, if we do find ourselves in an area where we find out that people that say that they love you, they hug you and greet you with all this kind and lovingness, and then you find out that it's not genuine, that they really didn't mean the words that they said, that all men are liars to some extent, right? We still have the Father. We're always to run to Him in humility. Because ultimately, just however you're experiencing it, we so much ourselves have been probably on the other side. That's a scale balance of humility, is to be willing to put yourself in someone else's shoes, even if you're the one going through it at that moment. To step outside of self and to embrace one another lovingly. The love of the Father. Then he came to his taught ones and said to them, still sleeping and taking rest? See, the hour has come near, and the Son of Adam is delivered up into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. See, he who delivers me has come near. And that's just another reality that we got to face, is that no matter what the circumstances are, and no matter, like I said, if someone said they had your back, but then whenever, whenever the smell of the fan changes because of what hit it, whenever that takes place, whenever pressure that you haven't quite experienced before, you really find out who actually is willing to stand on your side. Amen. Who really is willing to stay up and pray on your behalf. Because that's what he charges us to do, right? Yeah. To pray, to worship. Mm-hmm. Not just for ourselves, for the people that he has put in our lives together as the body of Messiah, as the bride. I'll try not to touch too much on that because it's for tomorrow, but it's like an office in here, and you got compartments, and they're really close together. You just don't want to grab the wrong file. So, but ultimately, these things that we're able to draw from, My prayer is that we see that it is timely because of what's going on, what's taking place, what may potentially be in our cup. But we're giving a unique opportunity, especially in the area of fellowship, as of late, to experience and test. Everything in this life is not a show and tell, but it's a testing ground. And we have to remember continually who we are in the Father in every test. So you are on the horizon. So more on praise and worship. Psalms 138, 1 through 8. It's a short Psalms. This really helped me see more clearly on what it looks like in another level of in-depthness. Even though we know all these things, we should continually be willing to hear them again and again. I give you thanks with all my heart. And then I had to ask myself, as I brought out earlier, am I really giving him my all? Are we really giving him our all? Do we really don't care what it looks like when we worship and praise him? Because if there's areas that we're lacking in, then that's not all. That's some. That's just what we think we're good at. Because there's somebody, I'm really well at speaking. Or this is just me, I'm really well at that. And don't get me wrong, we're all given gifts. But ultimately, there's policies that we have to meet. There's standards of the word, the commands to love thy neighbor as thyself properly. Because we withhold from one another, we withhold from him. Before the mighty ones, I sing praises to you. And remember in Deuteronomy, he was speaking about if you bow yourself to other mighty ones, it'll lead to destruction and you shall perish. And it was compared to, is there anything or any excuses in our life that we're allowing to be an Elohim? That we're allowing that hindrance and making excuses so that way we can't actually genuinely commit ourselves to him, to actually endure the sacrifice that he has for us, or that he calls us into. But here it says, before the mighty ones, I sing praises to you. Slapping away temptation like a gnat. There's been plenty of those. I bow myself toward your set apart Heckel and give thanks to your name for your loving commitment and for your truth. For you have made great your word. Your name above all. On the day I called, you did answer me. You made me bold with strength in my being. Let all the sovereigns of the earth give thanks to you, O Jehovah, when they shall hear the words of your mouth. And let them sing of the ways of Jehovah, for great is the esteem of Jehovah. Though Jehovah is exalted, he looks on the humble, but the proud he perceives from a distance. If that's not a motivator for us to actually draw near to him humbly and to do self-inventory to make sure that we're not putting our mouth in a race that it shouldn't have ran in to begin with towards another, or whatever the lack of love may look like in the instance. Because ultimately, a person can look upon someone and in their own judgment, with their own eyes, with their own ears, with their own mind, perceive them as self-righteous or as, you know what, as whatever comes to their mind in their judgment. But in reality, we know that Matthew chapter 7, when it speaks about judgment, says whatever you measure out will be measured back. And that's not saying that we're not to judge, but ultimately, if you want to judge correctly, it should be by the word. It should be by the Father, not by our thoughts. Oh, yeah, but you don't understand. This brother or this sister is just, they act in the fool. Well, how much fool are you about to get? That's not humbleness. That's puffed up, prideful, arrogant. That's Darnell Jr. So, I mean, that's only the Father. I don't, these stuff just pop up like a Darnell. No. But ultimately, that yes, and that's another example that we learned, the difference between humility and self-righteousness. Because for someone to, it's a very fine line. It's a very fine line that I noticed in my walk alone. That whatever judgment we perceive, we better be careful and mindful, no matter how right we think we are in the moment. And this ultimately, all of what's being said tonight, the Father impressed it on my heart throughout the week, in light and in preparation to Passover. Because he wants our hearts ready. Because we can't go before him any which way. It's much more than the decorations. It's much more than the fellowship. It's much more than the food. All those things are important and are of it because he wanted us to enjoy it. But ultimately, it's to see the foreshadowing of what took place and what's to come and what we have to endure and why we come together in these moments to physically walk through the Word. To actually embody the Word, to allow it to become malleable and real to you on another level, that you can actually walk it out. So I remember last Passover, I call him Uncle Jesse, Papa Stopper. He washed my feet. And all I felt in that moment was, I know he's not Messiah, but I'm not worthy. This man has lived life. He to me is a fountain of wisdom. He can teach me things. I can learn from him. I see him here compared to me. And not in an exalted esteem way of the Father, but in a way of reverent, of respect. I'm getting my R words mixed up. But in that moment, I felt something that made me realize you could relate to Peter whenever Messiah was going to wash their feet. And we're about to get to that. But all in all, these are humbling moments because that it humbled me. To just feel that level of like you know it's right because it's commanded, but you just feel like it should be the other way around. I should be polishing your feet. I should be washing your feet. And if anything, it's also a test of the heart to find out how much of a servant you want to be to the Father. Because you much more would rather be the one serving than you find that out about yourself. Because all these things that he gives us in the feast days, all these things that we walk out, the physical walking out of the Word, shows us what's in our heart. Because he already knows what's in our heart, but he takes us through various things to show us what's in our heart. He's very amazing with words and how he orchestrates all matters. I believe we're on verse 6 of Psalms 138. Though Jehovah is exalted, he looks on the humble. But the proud he perceives from a distance. Though I walk in the midst of distress, you revive me. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand saves me. And we know that Yeshua Messiah was put at his right hand because he is the Savior. Jehovah does perfect for me. O Yehovah, your loving commitment is everlasting. Do not forsake the works of your hands. We are the works of his hands. He wants us back into image and likeness, just as the process took place in the garden. He gently molded us into existence using mist and dust. If anything, that's humbling of itself to realize that he used the lighter versions of these elements, the lightest versions of these elements, to form us, to show us the detail of his working hand. Because he loves us, he just wants us to do our obeisance, to worship him in spirit and truth, to humble ourselves in spirit and truth, in other words. But on the matter of humility of the washing of feet, and I know we're going to be probably hearing this and experiencing this very soon, John chapter 13, 1 through 8. And before the festival of Pesach, Yeshua, knowing that his hour had come, that he should move out of this world and onto the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Thank you, Father. And supper taking place, the devil, having already put into the heart of Yehuda from Kirioth, son of Shimeon, to deliver him up. Yeshua, knowing that the Father had given all into his hands and that he came from Elohim, was going to Elohim, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, and having taken a towel, he girded himself. After that, he put water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the top ones and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. And so he came to Shimon Kepha, and he said to him, Master, do you wash my feet? Yeshua answered and said to him, you do not know what I am doing now, but you shall know after this. Kepha said to him, by no means shall you wash my feet ever. Yeshua answered him, if I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me. That was very motivating words, and ultimately we know, very next verse, Peter's like, wash my whole body. So, but we have to trust the process that the Father has laid forth before us. And I know sometimes it may seem as, well, Brother Rob, we kind of drifted a little ways from what's taking place with Abraham over there, you know, on the Mount Moriah, you know, location and what the Father was saying. But in reality, this is the power of the Word flowing through the individuals at the moment, not only just exhorting me and making me realize the areas that I need a lot of improvement in, especially before the appointed times, because it's more than just a memorial. It's more than just a getting together. It's a really setting the stage for us to make sure that we give our best effort, to make sure we approach him properly. And humility. But let's go to Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 11. And ultimately, the Father helped me with this because it all dealt with conductivity. If then there is any encouragement in Messiah, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same love, one in being and of purpose, doing none at all through selfishness or self-conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each one should look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Come on. I mean, the thoughts, it should never be a taxing trial for us to love one another properly. Like, let's just think about that for a second. Because in reality, we are brothers and sisters in this faith. And like I said before, I'm the oldest out of seven. And we're close enough in age to have been around each other long enough to know how brothers and sisters can get within a household. How it can kind of start acting the fool, you know. Sister Caitlin would like this one. But I was that brother that used to take Barbie dolls, tie their hair together, and throw them into the ceiling fan and watch them fly around. Meanwhile, poor Sister Caitlin is just like, no! Screaming in agony. You know, it's funny because it's childish, but in reality, you're bringing pain to another, right? So none of us should be tying anyone's Barbie doll's hair together and throwing it into the fan. So Almighty Yah wants our conductivity right. That takes humility, because it would have took humility for me to, you know, not do that to my tattletale sister, but we're not. I don't want to say too much, because I do tell her what I say in the messages. So she'll be like, you mentioned me? And I was like, yeah, I love you. But, you know, ultimately these things come to mind just for the sake of really driving home the fact that our approach coming soon with Passover, just with every day, honestly, needs to be in humility. For let this mind be in you, which was also in Messiah Yeshua, who, being in the form of Elohim, did not regard equality with Elohim a matter to be grasped, meaning that, you know, the Father and Son are separate, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and came to be in the likeness of men. And having been found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself. It was his choice. So should we also choose. And become obedient unto death. Death even of a stake. Elohim therefore has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Yeshua every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Yeshua Messiah is Master to the esteem of Elohim the Father. And ultimately, scripturally, because of verse 5, Genesis chapter 22, worship. When we're faced with the trial and the testing of our lives, it'd be wise for us to worship properly, with all our heart, with all our being, with all our might. You know, ultimately, if I could say anything right now, I'm thankful that Pastor sped things along Wednesday. It broke down the portion so well. You really can dive deep for the sake of moving along and getting more in-depthness of the word. We'll be moving along to the next Torah portion tomorrow morning, Father y'all willing. But, you know, that's the main thing he charged. I was snotting and sobbing all week, just thinking about humility, reflecting upon myself, looking at my cup, making sure that it's prepared to receive whatever test that he has on the horizon. And I was pressed to share that, to make sure that our minds are set and ready for true worship. because that's what's going to carry us. Well, I'm thankful for everyone coming out tonight. I'm so thankful for the Shabbat and the feast and all the things that he gives us. But let us go ahead and go to the Father in prayer. And